Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, British Lady, for letting us go ahead and get things going on this Thanksgiving Eve. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars. We hope everybody out there is doing wonderful, is fasting right now, making plenty of room for that Thanksgiving chow in the morning or afternoon or evening or however your schedule goes. I prefer to eat it earlier so that way I can go back and hit seconds and thirds and fifths and tenths. But nevertheless, we hope everybody is doing well and is fixing to enjoy their holiday. So with that being said, while I light my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars here in Jacksonville and open up my favorite malt beverage with a blue ribbon on it, I'm going to pass around to our esteemed panel. And again, that's with two E's, not an E-A. Esteemed panel, starting off, and I'm sure the cold, icy, busted place known as Indianapolis, my good brother Tim, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing just fine on this wonderful Thanksgiving Eve, and I'm ready to fill my stomach with lots of yummy food tomorrow. And I guess if we're going to go around and tell what we're thankful for this year, maybe I'll save my news about the exterior that was not completely built, but definitely jobs being, it's moving along nicely on the roof, the porch, everything. So a lot of progress, but even though it's kind of like a war zone. But, yeah, I'm cozied up and on the couch, pretty cold out there, and God knows what I'm doing. I'm unfortunately finishing up some stuff so that I can enjoy a nice four-day weekend. So ready to get things rolling on this wonderful Thanksgiving show, and glad to meet our guest this evening. So we'll go ahead and kick it off.
Great to have you aboard, and if I recall, this is your second Thanksgiving Eve show, is it not? Because you were with us this time last year.
Todd, isn't that right? I don't think I've done three yet. I think this is
no.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's been more.
The time is like an anchor, yeah. But, man, it's good to have you aboard this evening. Good to hear things are progressing well. I hope you fill us in later on the progress. Absolutely. But, yeah, appreciate you joining us. Now I'm going to slide across town to my anchor man and my good brother, Todd. What's going on?
Man, all I can say is I'm doing outstanding, the supernatural, ecstatic to be here. Happy Thanksgiving Eve, people, and was really happy. It was a nice Thanksgiving Eve weather kind of day up here for this part of the country. This time of the year, we actually hit 54 degrees today. I'll take it.
We did?
Wow.
It
was windy where I was.
I'm freezing my balls off out here. As a matter of fact, you know those nifty little things where you grab the ball on the end and it smacks the other balls back and forth? That's what my testicles are doing right now out here in the cold. But I've got
my
God,
I was just hearing that.
Yes, that's what that clacking sound is. And
and they used to be crazy clackers, as I recall, as far as the name, since you said the clacking sound. And it's nice that we actually have someone on the show that, with our guest, that we have somebody that can actually remember some of the references Dave and I use. I'll just let it go with that.
And could probably appreciate a set of clacking testicles in the cold while you're trying to desperately get a cigar in. It's amazing the length you will go through for a bad habit, but nevertheless, it's colder than shit out here this evening, but I'm bundled up. I'm going to find a way to make it through, even if I'm dressed like a bum standing around a burning barrel in downtown Philadelphia. I am going to persevere and have my cigar. So, but Todd, more than wonderful to have you on this evening, sir. Now,
thanks, Dave.
Moving
appreciate
on to our guest. Absolutely. Now, back in 2014, I was doing my first Comic-Con with my book series. And it was a very unique experience that I could tell you I will always cherish, and I'm so glad that I did it because I had reservations about doing it, but nevertheless, I said, you know what? There ain't but one way to crack an egg. And I said, you got to go in and do it. So I went in there and said, hey, you know, local author, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, my picture pops up on the website, and I'm sandwiched between two fantastic authors, Chrissy Lessie and Bill Fripp.
Yay.
Neither of the two I had ever met, but with me being a rookie author, I'm thinking, oh, Christ. Oh, boy. Okay, you got this, man. You know, just fly straight. You're going to be good. Within 15 minutes of setting up my table and meeting tonight's guest, I knew I had nothing to worry about because this gentleman was just genuinely good people and would let me be me, and he would be him. And I'm telling you, still to this day, I appreciate the fact that I met this gentleman, and along with many others at that con that day, Mr. Bill Fripp. Good to have you aboard. Long overdue. We've been needing to get you on, and by God, I'll go ahead and invite you in advance to return whenever you like. You have the digits. All you got to do is let me know that you're coming on so I can click you in. So there's the invite before we even start this evening. Mr. Bill Fripp, how are you doing this evening?
Well, thank you, first of all, for that incredible introduction. That was a very nice thing that you just said. Not really knowing me. No, I'm just kidding. that was, believe it or not, that was my very first Comic-Con as an author, too.
Really?
And it was, yes, really. That was when my first book, Ad Infinitum, was published back in 2014. I was 2 years off of near-death experience, and I had was as nervous as anybody else could have been. And by the end of that, I think you'll agree, by the end of that day, it was a party. It was a family atmosphere kind of camaraderie between everyone. And I'm pretty sure I met Todd then, too. Is that right, Todd?
Yeah, true story. True story. Yeah. I was muted for a moment. Sorry about that. But yeah, absolutely. Same year.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So that was a wild experience. That was the one with Ernie Hudson, right? Was the big guest star for that? Yeah. That, and we got to meet Ernie Hudson and pretend like we were stars for a day, and it was so much fun that I did it 4 or 5 more times. But
and we did. True story. Family was
now,
created.
It was, yeah. For now, I'm just trying to get your testicles out of my brain because, you know, I see words as pictures, and that wasn't a pretty picture.
Boy, that is true. There are some images that, yeah.
We could, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure
so
you'll
agree.
So that
was, yeah, I appreciate the invitation, and I can't wait to come back in the future and all of that. This is really fun. I haven't done anything like this for a while.
Yeah, you're always more than welcome to come back. And, you know, all of us are guys that, you know, I started the same way.
Well, I'm a
you're
guy now.
Doing right now. Yeah. John called me one evening, said, hey, come on the show. I want you to talk about your book series. And after the show, he says, hey, you got an open invite. Wanted me back the next week. And the next thing you know, now I'm hosting the damn thing. So open invite. Always good to have you. Good to hear your voice. That's for damn certain. So tell us about your book series.
It's called The Sojourner Saga, and it's basically, it's about aliens and how human life was propagated throughout the multiverse. It's a multiverse story, but it all takes place, the first book at least, takes place here in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I'm from, over on the clean side of the country. And it's about,
well,
like, it's
fast
about the,
and loose with the word clean.
Yeah, there we go. The Sojourners are the good guys. They're ancient aliens, if you are familiar with that vernacular, who are responsible for all humanoid life across the multiverse. They're the good guys. The bad guys are called the Wayward, and they serve a Sojourner who split off from the main group and who is bent on conquest. If you say it like that, people tend to care more. But that's it, and I'm on. I've been working on the. There's two books, Ad Infinitum and Ad Perpetuum, and then there's the third book, which I'm still working on and have been for the last 3 years.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when it comes down to writing books, and we've all been through it. Writing the book is the easiest part, believe it or not, and it's all the mayhem that comes with the post-writing of the book that holds up things, you know what I mean? And
oh, I do.
A lot of time, and if you know, with publishing and all that kind of jazz, you know, we've spoken on the show about it before. All of the monkey business and the and that's exactly what it is. I don't give a damn what nobody wants to call it. It's monkey business because there's a lot of crooked stuff that goes on out there in the publishing business. And so, you know, when you feel like that, you know, gosh, man, this guy wrote this book. Oh, man, you know, he's got so many books written, blah, blah, blah. Anybody can write a book, but it takes a real damn trooper to get one published, even at a self-publishing level. So,
yeah.
You know, to have a series going like you do definitely speaks volumes. And I dig the premise behind it because we've spoken on this show plenty of times about the possibility of a pre-history race that perhaps was more advanced than what we are now. And somehow
I think it's more than fair to say that life, our kind of life on this planet didn't come from this planet. Okay. I firmly believe that hidden on the back of comets and asteroids, and this planet went through billions of years of hundreds of millions of years at least of constant bombardment from those types of celestial objects. And I firmly believe that life on this planet and maybe on every planet traveled cosmically across space to be deposited on other worlds. I believe that is probably the best explanation for how we how life evolved on this planet.
Yep, I would concur with that, and I have I've seen some at least one documentary that was on probably like PBS or something that gave a few different theories of how I honestly can't remember what the premise of the show was, if it revolved around how we began on this planet or if it was more revolved around, you know, the creation of the planet itself. But regardless, one of the theories was that we actually are all technically aliens because we came from deposits or anything else that could have been floating out in space or came from another actual planet that, you know, landed here And then as the atmosphere, you know, whatever develops, then it's able to, you know, I mean, I couldn't get into the scientific details where there's, you know, cells can lay dormant and whatever, the right atmosphere can, you know, cause them to grow and do whatever. But anyway, hey, I'm the only one who's not met you. So it's good to have you on the show. And the book sounds amazing, very interesting. So I just wanted to throw that out there. But, yeah, I've heard that, and I think that's an interesting theory. So just wanted to toss it out there.
Well, thanks, Tim.
Yeah, when I was and to go off of what you were speaking on, Tim, when I was remodeling the club back in 2010, we had to drain. Did they have retention ponds up there in Indianapolis like they do here in Jacksonville?
Oh, yeah.
Where they've got
– yep.
Okay. And that's supposed to give back to the ecosystem, blah, blah, blah. It turns out just to be a big, you know, slushy mud puddle, yak, yak, yak. But nevertheless, they had to drain the one on the side of the building. And for the sake of doing whatever in the hell they had to do, but it was a huge undertaking. And – you had civil engineers out there. You had, you know, ecosystem people out there, and they were actually with almost like a septic truck sucking everything out of this retention pond. So the water is kind of interesting the way they did it. Like the fish kind of hit like a spillway, almost like a livestock. We've all seen the livestock shows where the sheep are kind of guided through the little, you know, canal of fencing and everything. That's what the fish did. And then, of course, trash and debris and everything went to another side. So I'm standing by this tank because all the fish went in to this tank of clean, brackishly clean, if you will, water. And as I'm looking in there, I says, God damn, there's catfish, there's spot, there's mullet, there's bass. And I'm going, how in the world are saltwater fish and freshwater fish in this retention pond? You know, there was turtles. You know, all this kind of stuff. So one of the civil engineer guys was telling me, he says, this happens all the time at all of these retention ponds because what happens is birds.
And he's an author, folks.
Yeah, man. I'm almost repeating the history with that double superlative I hit a couple of weeks ago. But
oh, yeah. I was going to bring it up.
Yeah, man.
You could pull something like that.
I own that one. Yeah, I was a couple beers down.
You could
down,
pull
so
something with a double superlative.
Double superlative?
I thought, Mary Lou Retton did a double superlative off the top. Never mind.
I'm not that lucky. I can try, though, you guys. Hold my beer.
All right.
You're going to hear a lot of cracking and Charlie horsing, but, hey, that's what 51 will do
all
for
right,
you.
Yeah.
But he was saying that
I'll
like,
dial 9-1 and hold my finger over the 1.
Let him lay there for a little while.
Okay.
But what would happen is these birds step in like a natural body of water, a pond or a river or whatever, and by accident will step in fish beds and get the fish eggs on their feet, and then they fly away. And the next place they land is in the retention pond, and said eggs wash off your feet and hatch. And that's how you end up with all these different kind of fish in this little retention pond, and it becomes its own ecosystem. So, you know, Bill, what you're speaking of, talking about, you know, asteroids and comets and everything else flying by this planet and flying in this planet for years, bringing its makeup, you know, be it minerals or bacteria or whatever might be on it, that's what made this up. And
that's it.
You know,
I would have never guessed eggs. I would have thought it would have been like a Jurassic Park where they explain how, you know, in Jurassic Park where they explain how the animals in the same-sex environment reproduce because they're all supposed to be females, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it was the fact that they used DNA to fill in the blanks in the dinosaur DNA, and frogs have been known to change sex in the same-sex environment. So I thought that was kind of like how the fish got there, and when you were mentioning different, you know, a saltwater fish and a freshwater fish in the same pond, I thought maybe it was something like that, but I was wrong. It was the eggs.
No. Yeah, yes. You never know around here. And apparently humans have adapted to pick up that ability to change sex as well. Just saying.
Actually, no, they haven't.
Yeah, at least for the next 3 years.
But you just can't say that, right? Yeah.
Right.
Hey, I got a cool, the first little tangent. Not really, I guess it's not a full-blown tangent because I don't really care for a conversation to come out of it unless anybody else has interest. But you mentioned retention ponds, and I don't know why this snapped into my head, but you know how you always see the ponds right next to the office buildings? Doesn't matter, you know, like the ones that are off, not like downtown, so to speak, but usually when they throw up those.
Right, strip mall and whatnot.
Yeah, and so they'd have, like, the ponds next to them. Usually, and kind of what I'm thinking of is more or less the office buildings where you kind of have a data center. When they first did that and noticed you'd have fountains in all of them, those were designed in place to be cooling systems for these big-ass mainframes or supercomputers that they would have, because back in the day, like 80s and, you know, before then, computers would take up like an entire family room size area, and they're extremely hot. And so to help cool them off, they would create a system where water would constantly flow through. And it made up I don't know the ins and outs of how it worked, but basically it was part of a cooling system. So how's that for you?
Oh,
cool.
Damn.
All right. Carry on.
Well, alrighty then.
We're learning tonight. Something else
we did. Boy, it's all over the place. And just for the record, this segment's been brought to you by your Roto-Rooter man.
Okay.
Get those pipes clean, baby.
Are there still Roto-Rooters?
Last I checked.
There are still Roto-Rooters?
Yeah, as far as I know, there's still rooters to be rotoed.
Well, that's true. When I was a kid, we used to call, but this was back when before Star 69 and you couldn't, right? We would call up and send Roto-Rooter to people's houses. It was like, I'm up to my knees in the basement. Please come help me. And then we'd watch as Roto-Rooter pulled up to somebody's house and ran in with the hoses. And that was how we had fun in Charlotte back in the day before cable.
Before caller ID and all that stuff.
Yeah, all of that good stuff. Couldn't do that now. Well, I mean, you could. It would just be really stupid.
So, Bill, with your book series, are you going to close it out with the third book, or is it going to continue on, or are you looking to close it out, move on to a different topic, or what you got in mind?
I had originally planned on doing just the one book, honestly. And then the second one, people were asking for it, so I wrote it. And then now I guess it's, I started the third one. I got about 30,000 words into it. And have you ever, it's a saying that I've always heard, if it's not good enough for me, it's not going to be good enough for anybody else.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense? Right. And
makes
so
sense.
It's not a writer's block per se, because I write a lot. It's just that I don't know if I can go any further. I just don't know if I can go any further. What I'm thinking about doing is going in and doing rewrites of the first and second and taking what I've got of the third and mixing it all into one big book.
And that's doable. I mean, there's so much that could be done with it. And that's the nifty thing about, you know, fictional works that you control the gameplay. You control the pace. And I know sometimes you feel like there's an obligation to get it out quicker, you know, for folks that are actually, you know, like, hey, man, when's the next book coming? But I'm with you. If you're going to put out something you don't feel good about, it's just like cooking. If the gravy don't taste right, don't put it on the table, you know?
Right. It'd be like kind of slapping my readers in the face.
Right.
And that cooking is a good analogy because I was in the restaurant business for 25 years, and my thing was if I wouldn't eat it, I'm not going to serve it.
Right.
And I drilled that into all the people that were, you know, because I was an executive chef, and that was the biggest thing for me. I ran the kitchen from the expediter's station because I wanted to see every dish that went through the door.
And made sure it was spot on.
If it wasn't up to my standards, it didn't go out the door.
Right, right.
Awesome.
With that being in mind, where did you, where was that point in Bill Fripp's life where he just stopped and said, you know what, I'm going to write a book? What brought you on to writing the book? What gave you the idea?
After my restaurant career, I bounced around. I owned a computer store for a while. I did computer hardware, not a computer store. I was was part owner of a computer company that built automation places. Like if you had a warehouse and you had to automate all of your all of the bays at your warehouse on one computer system, we built the white boxes for each station. We built the machines for each station. After that didn't go very far. Because we were building machines, you know, and then at about the same time, Microsoft started selling them, not Microsoft, Dell started selling them for $499 a pop. And we couldn't, you know, I couldn't get parts for my machines for that because I wasn't buying in gigantic bulk. But anyway, I decided, well, you know, I've got to do something. So I started doing security work, third shift. And I started listening to a little radio show called Coast to Coast AM. Familiar with that?
Yep. Yes.
And I listened to that every single night for years and years and years. And as I tried to sleep at night, or actually, excuse me, as I tried to sleep during the afternoon, my ADHD would go through all of the little things that I heard on that radio show the previous evening, and I started putting together the ideas, and I wanted to do it. I wanted to bring that genre into my writing, but at the same time have it not sound so supernatural and fake. I wanted it to sound like these things were part of the natural human process. You know, the natural, like remote viewing. There's a remote viewer in my book, and I wanted to take the supernatural and the spooky out of that and make it more of a natural thing. Some people have these abilities and some people don't have them. You see? But it was the Coast to Coast AM that got the juices flowing in my head. I had been writing short stories since I was a kid, but I had never really wanted to sit down and try to concentrate long enough to write an entire book because of the aforementioned ADHD, you know, because it's
right.
Chapter one. Ooh, a squirrel.
Yeah. And actually, it'll kind of fit right in with this show. Like you heard Tim reference the tangents. We run into tangents all the time because I was already like, well, Bill brought up the cooking, the executive chef. It's Thanksgiving Eve. We could have that conversation of what everybody's
doing tomorrow. No, we don't.
Tomorrow.
I don't cook anymore. Because when I have to clean up after myself, that makes it different. And I'm not getting paid.
Yeah.
So.
The math. Because is it easier to do it? Because I've been away from the family here for 3.5 years. I was back for 10 months. It's a lot harder when it's just me, even when Yuki was just up here a few weeks back visiting. It's it's not the same as being involved in a Thanksgiving dinner when you got a couple households together and that stuff going on. It's, I find it a lot harder to cook smaller stuff.
I was in Myrtle Beach, and I worked at the K&W cafeteria there. If you're familiar with K&W cafeterias, in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, I know where you're at.
But yeah, the K&W cafeteria down there was balls to the wall, dude. Like every single day during the season, I would go to work. Sometimes I'd go in at 4:00, and there would already be, and the dining room didn't open. Nothing opened until like 6:00, and there would already be people lined up outside the building waiting to get in. We did, our biggest day down there, believe it or not, was Mother's Day. Because there's
a huge day restaurant business.
Yeah. Mother's Day was gigantic. And for instance, we would do Mother's Days and Thanksgiving. One Thanksgiving at that particular K&W, we bought 18 to 20 pound turkeys, okay? Boned them out, cooked them off, sliced the breast meat up into trays, and sold all but 2 trays of that turkey breast meat out of 20 18 to 20 pound turkeys.
Wow.
I've never worked that hard. I never worked that hard in my life when I was working at K&W. I was executive chef at the Sheraton down there. And never worked that hard. That was a hard job. But it was also like going to college if you wanted to learn how to cook, because K&W does everything from scratch, from their pie shells. They butcher their own meat. I was a butcher there for a summer. So and I left Myrtle Beach with Papa John's. I was with Papa John's. Was my last Myrtle Beach. As a matter of fact, I helped open the franchise down there. It was one of like the first 2 stores opened in that franchise. I was on the crew, on the training crews.
Oh wow!
And but I left that and came back to Charlotte, and then I was out of the restaurant business after that, because we went from a franchise to Papa John's corporate, and it was a different animal altogether.
Yeah, understood.
Speaking of
when I worked in a restaurant, Thanksgiving, I think that here were the 4 big holidays, and I'm pretty sure Thanksgiving was possibly the biggest, and Mother's Day was definitely the 2nd, and then you also had Easter. And the 4th, mm-hmm. which was still considered one of the major ones, but not quite as big of a deal, was Father's Day, of course.
Right. But, yeah, the 3 that you mentioned, Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, and Easter, those are balls to the wall days down at K&W, trust me.
Yep. I hear you. Those were
the marbles. Huh? You said balls to the walls. I said jarbles to the marbles.
Yeah, and back we are to testicles. Hey, we've come full circle in half an hour, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
That's how you do a conversation right there, guys.
Boy, way to carry the theme.
Yes. We're on the ball.
We started with balls and ended up with nuts.
That's it. People would think we're
Which is
nuts.
What we all are.
Hey.
I like it.
I'm watching Fox News, learning how to hate myself.
Ah, very good.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
there's enough of that out there right now, for crying out loud. That's why
we
gotta get you back to where we're doing the current events, because I know you're a lot like us in your form of thinking, that, you know, the sooner we do what works and the sooner we get along, the sooner everything clears up. And, man, some of the stuff going on now, it's just like, God, how freaking childish can a society get? But
I'm afraid we're going to find out.
Yes.
Yeah. Sad, but true. But before we sink into things of evilness and all that going on, speaking of the waywards, I got to tell you a story. So Bill mentioned we met him back there in 2014, and it was it's always a good thing to come back and, you know, that was an annual thing to be able to go down there to that particular event and see the crew. You know, there'd be Pillbell there. There'd be Dave, me having to rescue his wife from outside, go in, get her pass, and get her into the thing, get Dale in there. And there were Jeff and Chrissy Lessie, Chrissy and Jeff. I don't know which way in that case. And she was the author. She should come first. Well, you know, because it was about the author. So in this case, context.
Okay.
We've had Jeff on the show. We had him on. Bill, you might appreciate this. We had him on for the Father's Day show when we were featuring dad jokes. Just saying.
Yeah.
Oh. I hear the wheels turning. But so there we were sitting online. Bill and I talked a little bit, and, you know, his pops had served, and, you know, just little things. He knew I had recently retired, that kind of stuff, and from the Marine Corps, and my son was in, and when I told him my son was getting ready to deploy, he was going to go do a med cruise, I got asked for the Addy, our Addy, and signed autograph books, showed up, compliments of the author William Fripp, for my son to read on his deployment. Brother, that was damn decent of you. I make that reference to people. You tell stories of some of the great people I met doing this stuff, the different cons, going and meeting people. That was something you didn't have to do. And I just wanted to go ahead and let some people know that side of you.
Well, it was my genuine pleasure.
It
was my genuine pleasure. Well, it's like this. Nobody was going to buy them.
Damn.
I'm just saying. It was my genuine pleasure.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was, it was just way cool. And I know, you know,
I'm glad he enjoyed them. How is he?
He's a, man, would you believe, well, we got to go back to the last time we saw you all. So I guess that was like, what, 2017? That
was
fall?
It?
Probably,
when was
2017. Probably 2017, because I left there I left that part of the country in May 2018. And that girl that was there at that last particular event, if you remember, Garen and I, that was the first time getting to meet him. That was his first con.
Right.
We got in our cups, had a blast and all that, but he and that young lady are married. They have a house, and yeah. Now, mind you, their kids are going to their kids are both quadrupeds. They got a Yorkie and a tabby. and I'm good with that for grandkids for the moment.
Right.
I'm good with that for grandkids at the moment. Speaking of grandkids, don't you have a grandkid child that's just had a special day?
Today is his birthday, yes.
Absolutely.
Well, you said
Elijah,
get those wishes out there on the air, brother.
Happy birthday, Elijah. Yeah, it's his 10th birthday. Happy birthgiving.
With my older stepson. My stepson Brandon's birthday is today as well. Yep, just went out and told
Happy birthday, Brandon.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Happy birthday, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon.
Look at that.
You know,
let's go, Brandon.
That kid is a gem already. Look at that. Outstanding. Well done, young man. Well done. I tell you, I get a charge out of pumping gas. If there's one good thing about pumping gas and it's $3 a gallon, is all those little Biden stickers that said, I did this.
Right.
I find it scary.
But I did this, but I don't really know that I did it.
But it is
I think I did it. That's what they
now,
could say.
Now,
I think I did this. Did I do that?
Yeah. He can hide.
Oh, my God. It's like that John Leguizamo character, Hoshi or whatever it was. I don't know how I do it.
Yeah.
I just do it.
Biden is the Urkel of presidents. Did I do that?
Did I do that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
And no, we don't know. I have no idea what I did. Good old Joe.
Now, Bill, throwing out there about grandkids, me being a granddad of four now, I'm sure you'll agree. When the grandkids come over, it doesn't matter how much they burn, destroy, or flood, it's okay.
Because you can send it back.
Yes. Yes. And one of my tricks back in the day when the grand youngins were smaller, used to load them up with M&Ms and Mountain Dew, send them home. And yes, there's an
evil
laugh.
I've got four as well.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Austin,
what kind of
Paisley, Silas, and Elijah.
Nice. See, we really are a family show.
Yeah.
We are a family show.
So I would be remiss if I didn't ask about your wonderful wife, Miss Valerie, Mrs. Fripp. How is she doing?
She's doing fine. I made her stay out in the living room so she doesn't bother us.
She's been exiled.
That's hilarious.
Can you believe that shit?
Yeah.
I chained her up in the yard. I'm just kidding.
Yes, give her our best,
hilarious.
Man, because she is a very, very wonderful lady. And
she has to
I
put up with
you alarm. Guys. I do. I miss, as a matter of fact, I was speaking to Bill Blair. I've spoken to him several times in the last couple of weeks because we're going to get him on the show, too, when the planets align and everything and his travel schedule meets up.
He's one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
Most
talking
of,
about
right?
Most class act. Yeah. And he's another part of the family. I guess that would be another good segue on the Fripp interrogation show we're on right now. When it comes down to that particular show, which I guess we could name it now for crying out loud because it's no longer in existence, but nevertheless, when you look
what, Crystal Coast Con?
That one right there. Way to crack the egg, young man. Very well done.
Okay.
But if you look at that core group between yourself, Chrissy, actually the whole Lefty family, the whole Fripp family, the whole Atwell family, the whole Saxon family. We also got to be close with Dango,
right.
Who
God
unfortunately is no longer with us. And
that was sad.
And you know, Dango was the guy I was going through kind of a funk because, you know, when I wrote the first book, the writing part was no sweat. The editing part was no sweat. But I had no idea what I was doing when it came down to cover work and formatting. So first iteration of the book, the typeset in it was so small that it made your eye sockets bleed when you were reading it. And you know, it's one of those things where, you know, and it's funny, you go to the con, and I see your cover, and I see Chrissy's cover, and I'm thinking, no, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Because my cover just wasn't there. It was me and my brother shooting from the hip with some stock photos and everything. I had paid $150 to get this big-ass vinyl banner made that weighed like 400 pounds that I couldn't get attached to anything. And as the day wore on, And I kept speaking to folks about the book series. I was on the other side, and I'm sure, Bill, you know, you can agree with me. When I was standing there, I'm going, wow, those are Walking Dead guys over there. And yeah. I was scared to talk to them. You know, I was a little starstruck to the
like
point of going,
Santiago?
You know, yeah, you know, it's like, man, those guys ain't going to want to talk to me. So towards the end of the show, I went up to Dango. I said, hey, man, before you roll, I got to get your autograph for my Wall of Fame. You're Walking Dead alumni. I've got it all over the wall. I got to have you. And he said, dude, he says, you know, it's funny. I didn't want to approach you. He said, but I would listen to you sell your book all day. And he says, man, that sounds interesting as hell, man. He says, you want to trade? And I was like, holy smokes, this guy actually wants to read my book, and he was on The Walking Dead? Holy shit, you know? So as it went, we ended up hitting it off. So anyhow, book sales were tepid, and I was still trying to develop my fan base and all that kind of jazz, and I was working on the second book. The second book was pretty much done, and I went ahead and released the second book. Nothing was happening, and I was really getting down in the dumps about it because I felt good about the story, and everybody who read it said how much they enjoyed it and thought it was a good book. And that wasn't just out of my mom that was trying to make my feelings good. I mean, it was guys like Todd Sackett that would tell me, hey, dude, stop writing. This is shit, you know, that were actually saying, hey, this is good stuff. But I was still getting down in the dumps because the sales weren't what I expected them to be, and it just wasn't going anywhere. Well, Chrissy got hold of me, and I was still in my infancy with social media. I still was behind the eight ball on that. I still ain't really hitting on it. As a matter of fact, Todd, for the most part, does all the social media for the show here because I still, all these years later, don't hit a lick with it. But Chrissy sends me a text that says, hey, did you see what Dango said about your book? And I says, no. And she sent me a screenshot of what he said. And it basically saying, hey, I was next to this guy at a con. I heard, lead in about the book. I had to read it, and man, it blew my doors off. And it's funny how reading that started playing the Rocky music in my head. And the thing about Dango that was pretty amazing is that it was like he always knew when I was having down moments because I would get these random messages from him going, how's the book coming along? How's it going, buddy? And it was that kind of stuff that was the old bolt of lightning in the ass that got you right back on track. And
right.
He is definitely missed. Very, very good man.
What a sweet
and
guy.
And to be honest with you, with Dango, yeah. He didn't really have to talk to any one of us. Here's a guy that had the hair, had the look, you know, bodybuilder, comedian, firefighter, actor. I think he did everything but except, like, pediatrician. And
yeah.
he treated us like we were best friends.
Like dude.
And Bill Blair is right up there with him. And
right.
I tell you, I miss you guys so much. And I always knew
Bill
that
Blair,
one time a year.
Bill Blair at that con, well, it was the first time was at that con, and how I met him. You remember he was across from us where they
right.
had the grate where they would hang their banners and stuff, right? And he was struggling to get his banner up, and I'm like 12 feet tall. So I walked over there and held his banner and tied his other end of the banner, helped him get his banner up, and we've been friends ever since. We've been friends
yeah.
ever since. Yeah, now it's the girls
and,
that I did that for in Walmart where I get them off, stuff off the top shelves you know, would do the same, my life would be a lot more comfortable.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that would go really well for you.
Oh, yeah.
My name is Bill, and I speak for the Smurfs. Yes.
I'm a giant person.
If I recall, you helped me out on my banner, too, the 150-pound banner that I was talking about. If I recall, you helped me out with that one, too.
Yeah, I was the banner helping son of a bitch that day, boy.
You were. But I do. I genuinely
That's
just
funny. You just said the banner SOB. I was just thinking, oh, hey, there's the banner biatch. Mate, tell him to come help us.
There's the banner bitch. Come here, banner boy. Come forth,
oh my God.
Boy. With thy banner hanging ability. Yeah,
I'm a banner.
You know what? Just remember to add that to your resume, brother.
Okay. I don't have a resume. I'm retired.
You never know.
I'm retired. Medically retired.
Do you have any type of cons in your site that you're going to be attending or
honestly, God, I would love to go, but I don't have a list. I don't have any of that. I don't have any plans, no, to do anything like that. I'm in, you know Ronald Rossman?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, we know
yes.
Ron.
Yeah, I'm in a production with Ronald Rossman. I'm in, he does Dusk. So I'm in Dusk.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I want you to run with that because I wanted to bring that up if you don't mind, Bill.
Sure, not a bit. But, yeah, I'm in Dusk, and I was in The Devil's Daughter for about 5 seconds. He and I are also going to collaborate on another project, a film project that I've been wanting to do for a long time. So I'm getting more into that. I have a theater background, and I haven't done any real acting for a long time because I had children to raise and shit to pay for. So, you know, unless you're...
Funny how family does that to you.
It's more important than being an actor, in my opinion.
Well,
but
it's
now
more
that
important,
that's not important
than any
anymore,
damn thing else, in my opinion. We do what
but
we got to do for
anymore,
the family.
So I can do it. No, I'm just kidding. Now, you know, now I'm starting to flex that creative muscle again in that arena, which is why I haven't really written much. But Ronald Rossman is another guy I met at a con, but it was closer.
Yes.
Here. It was in Charlotte, I think. It was one of the cons down here that I met Ron, and we've been buddies. We've been friends ever since. He's a great guy.
He is.
Yeah, I got some stories on him, too. First off, how much energy has he got?
Too much. The guy works 40 or 50 hours a week, then he films, then he does all the editing. The guy's ridiculous. See, I was born with a conditional laziness disease. I'm conditionally laziness, and it's genetic. I'm genetically lazy. I'm starting to build a lobby in Washington so I can start, you know, getting benefits for being congenitally lazy.
Oh, nice.
But Ronald Rossman is the complete photo negative of me. Because he's unstoppable, dude.
Seriously.
Yeah,
he's another one. Number of stories on him, just real quick vignettes, if you will, on Ron Rossman. He was in one of his Batman costumes. He wasn't wearing the Keaton one. He had one of them. But he came down to an independent con there in the Jacksonville, North Carolina area. And in no time at all, he took over the MC duties for the day. He was sitting there on the mic passing the info, had the stuff going on, throwing things in between. You know, we had odds and ends folks doing the meet and greet rooms and stuff like that, the QA rooms, and Ron was sitting there doing that. He had the Batman costume going on. He's had his various members of DOS crew and, you know, show up and do debut and take over the costume judging stuff. And their folks were showing up in all kinds of outrageous stuff as it was. That was one thing with him. He did the, oh, my God, when he had held this online auction, I was dying. That was a blast. His daughter was sitting there running the queue and the bids and stuff like that, stuff that was going on. And he was, you know, doing the host and the show, and the dog would be coming in and out of the room and stuff. And he just, you know, real. Ron Rossman is real. And he's got all the stuff going on. So for Devil's Daughter, when he was doing that fundraiser, finally in a position, I was like, man, I could actually go put in for something and send it. Man, they said, we'll get you the lab coat signed and some little doodad off to the side. Man, it come back. All kinds of other crap came back with it. He just said, hey, hang loose. Apparently, like, all the key members signed crap and all the stuff. I haven't seen it yet. I had it sent home. But had the wife, Yuki, gave me a quick story of everything that was in there. I was like, hey, you know, of course, I sent him a message. Said, thanks. He didn't have to do that. Went above and beyond. I'm Ron Rossman.
He's a very giving. He's a very giving person. He gives of himself. More people should be like that.
Yeah, it's
like me, for instance.
Else.
I should be more like Ron. Let's all be more like Ron. Let's make a vow right now. No, I'm just starting
to be, like Ron. The no. In all seriousness, there are worse examples to follow. Just saying.
No doubt.
And that's part of the Khan family. And I think that's probably a legit tangent here for the conversation, just talking about the Khan family with some of those things. Some of the people we've met at some of those, we've talked about Bill Blair. I remember hitting him with an IM saying, hey, but, you know, my daughter's going to have such and such birthday. I think it was 15 at the time. And would it be all right? And he was like, what form of social media is she on? I told him, she had the message. And, you know, there are, obviously the guy can't sit on social media and stalk everybody he knows. He'd never get the stuff done that he does. And he puts on a hell of a show at every show he goes to. The whole makeup demo is freaking outstanding. You know, like Yuki said this last year, she's like, hey, God, Bill Blair sent me a birthday message. Yeah, that's Bill Blair. He remembers, remembers people. Just saying. And he doesn't have to do that. And it was not a huge con, not a huge event, not somebody could spend it, you know, go in there and drop, you know, a bunch of money on stuff for him. He still does that. That's, you know, that speaks volumes about his character.
I think it does too. That first con for me, the one where I met you guys, the one with Ernie Hudson, that was a transformative thing for me because, well, Ernie, if you remember, after that show was over, he spent 45 minutes, maybe an hour, and he walked to every other person that worked that con and shook hands and spoke with and had a personal moment with everybody that was there. He didn't have to do that.
Yep.
That guy's a freaking star, dude. All right, that's a Ghostbuster. That's he's been in major, right? He's an actual bona fide star. And he didn't have to do that. And I thought that was really classy. That's the kind of,
remember.
Huh?
He participated in a prank at that show.
I don't remember that.
Oh, this was, okay. So
was it on
was,
me?
Not on you. It was this was something Diamond Dave came up with, and I helped. All I did was do lookout stuff. one of the guys Dave and I would work with, Stewie, Eric Stewart, came in there as a guest, and he went to get online, and Dave had razzed him that he had some resemblance to Ernie Hudson. And Diamond Dave, go ahead, tell Bill. I mean, Bill might have missed this, that it happened right, basically right in front of him.
Yeah, for years I had been teasing.
I was really high at the time.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah,
that's my excuse, and I'm standing on it.
I used to tease Eric about being Ernie Hudson's love child because he looks like Ernie Hudson. So, of course, you know, when I get in on this con and I see Ernie Hudson's going to be on there, the wheels start turning. And y'all know me well enough. I'm the guy that won't do something unless you tell me I can't. And
right.
I told Dale, I says, you know what? I'm going to prank the shit out of Eric Stewart. And she says, don't do that. And that's all I needed to hear. So before
right.
the show started up, I walked up to Ernie Hudson. I said, hey, how you doing, Mr. Hudson? Dave Atwell, blah, blah, blah. My table's down yonder, blah, blah, blah. I says, I've got a guy who's like a brother to me. I said, he is a spitting image of you. And I've been teasing him for years that you're his love child, or he's your love child. And Ernie Hudson started laughing. He goes, he says, you serious? I said, I'm dead serious. When you see this guy, you're going to know. So anyhow, I kind of hashed out the whole plan with him, right? And he says, all right. He says, I don't know when he's coming. I said, but when I pop up, I just need you to play. And he says, got it, no problem. So as Todd alluded to, Todd was very, very integral to this whole thing going down because he was the one who kept an eye on Eric's movements when he was going down there, right? And about the time Eric got to Ernie Hudson's table, Todd signals, I take off and I walk down that concourse and I just pop
now,
up.
Now, hold on before we go too far on this part. And yes, Bill, I gave him the old school Little Rascals high sign, the hand under the doggone chin, waving it. I did it just like yeah. Little Rascals. I was over there doing my best Alfalfa and Spanky.
Game on, game on. So Eric is shaking hands. Now, mind you, it was about a year prior to that, me and Eric went to go meet Ric Flair. He woo! Was doing...
I'm sorry, that was woo! A reflex. That was a reflex, I'm sorry. He's my hero,
Ric
by the
Flair
way.
Is the greatest. I don't give a damn. Ric Flair is the greatest, so... When we get to, it wasn't the first time I had met Ric Flair. So, of course, you know, I told Eric, and Eric's shaking. You know, he's so excited and everything. I said, dude, you're going to be surprised at just how cool Flair is. I said,
I
want to
meet
yourself.
Him.
And Eric got up there. He was stiffer than a damn board when he got up there. And I was ribbing the hell out of him, right? So I already knew that Eric was going to be, because he was a huge Ghostbuster guy, and he thought Ernie Hudson was the cat's ass. So here it is, a chance to meet Ernie Hudson. You know, I knew he was already going to be, you know, worked all up with anxiety and everything. So he goes to shake Ernie Hudson's hand, and I come out of nowhere and just go, good afternoon, Mr. Hudson. My name is Dave Atwell. I'm representing my client here, Eric Stewart, and we believe that Eric is perhaps a child of yours, and I would like to know if you'd be willing to submit a DNA test. I have a cotton swab right here, if you don't mind me running that inside your cheek. And to Ernie Hudson's credit, he played it like a fiddle. Eric was stiffer than a wedding dick, and he just turned his head real slow and looked at me like, you're not actually doing this, that will, you know?
Did he let you take a swab?
Well, just about that time, I finally broke it off. And, I mean, Ernie Hudson busted out laughing. I was laughing. And, Eric, you could just see the color. And for a black guy turning white, it's a pretty amazing phenomenon.
and red at the same time.
Yeah, he looked at me and he says, "You cocksucker! I can't believe you did this to me." I was like, "But to
well, that, credit, that's great."
The magic of that.
I was effectively. I was effectively sending the high sign from Jeff and Chrissy's table, and I'm over there behind their table. I'm almost on the floor and the ball rolling at this time because I'm laughing.
I mean, and Ernie Hudson sold it. It was so damn funny. It was such a
– Well, he is a brilliant actor.
Yes, yes, and just a good guy. And,
he was.
He
did me a big favor, too, at that because I gave him – On my way out, I handed him a book. I said, "There's because if you've read the book, you know that there's a part in there in Whaley Botu, who Ernie Hudson would be perfect for." So I said, "There's a part in there for you." And about 6 weeks later, or I never heard from him. I didn't expect to hear from him. About 6 weeks later, I sent him a tweet, and I said, "Look, I know you're busy, but did you get a chance to read my book?" And he tweeted back, "Yes, I did, and I loved it. It should definitely be made into a movie." That's what he tweeted to me. And I've been using that in my – I've been writing that since 2014.
Right?
That's the best review I've ever gotten. And every time I do a – if I So I put a picture of him holding the book up, and of course I took a great big screenshot of that tweet. So that's my advertising for the last, what year is it? 2021?
Right. It's been a minute. The, I kid you not. This all true story. Now this is, and Tim hasn't done the con things. He's got no idea how cool these can be for family stuff and that. I've been bending his ear for a couple of years now. All right, these small cons. These not the major ones. These, you know, and I say small, and you'd be surprised how much some of them blow up. Dave and I were at one, and Jeff and Chrissy were there, too. The that blew up on us. Next thing I know, that thing, I believe Dave used the phrase, went supernova. It pretty much did. But you'd be surprised who you meet and what goes on. And it's the, you've heard us talk about it on the show, the con family. There's And it is. We there are other people from that con down there. You know, Rob Kellum. The
he's a good guy too. Papa Stowe.
Absolutely. I figured he might join us tonight, but he might have been tied up because he's a regular on here too.
Oh, is he? I can't wait to get on with Rob. I would love to come back and be on with Rob.
Oh, awesome. Let's see what we can do to make that happen. The he was because I was back
Rhodes
for Thanksgiving.
Impression?
Oh my God!
Rob's Dusty Rhodes impression is the funniest thing, and he's got Dusty Rhodes down pat. I mean, it's hilarious.
he does Dusty Rhodes better than Dusty Rhodes used to do. Dusty.
Nobody was better than Dusty.
And we egg it on here at the show. Somebody always has to drop a dream reference to kind of light the fire. And before you know it, everything Rob's doing, he's coming back as a dream. And good stuff, man.
He's so weird.
Oh, man, this is horrible. Dave, you're going to have to help me here. Damn it, old Star Trek boy. Volunteer firefighter.
Wow.
He's another one we met there. I'm counting on Dave here for this one. The
Was it played Tuvok?
No, seriously, they had the local Star Trek ship, if you will.
Oh,
there's
Dave fights.
Yes.
Yes.
That name sounds familiar.
He was there, part of that con. It was over there at Honest. Bill, I was sitting there doing stuff to work the other cons and all that. So I was in there poaching people that were at that show to help support John's cons. And Dave Fights, oh, my God. He's like, he might be the king of the damn dad jokes. he's always got stuff going on. He's another one. He would come through. As you call, I worked at Sam's Club before I came up here and did this stuff, got a real job. He would come through. He'd have some of the family with him, whatnot, and it was always a greet with a hug. That's just the way it is. Last time I saw you, it's greet with a hug. That's the con family with these smaller cons. I'm just saying, there's something different about it.
I wish I could go do a few more. I really do.
Well, I'm doing XCon in Myrtle Beach in May. So in the event you want me to pass on some information to you on that, I'd be happy to.
Any information you could pass along to get me to a con in my, close to this area would be great, because I've got a 34-foot RV just sitting out in my driveway gathering dust.
Oh, I hear you. Hell yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny with COVID.
Oh, shit, I'm trying to figure out if it'd be cheaper than any other way to go down there, one way or the other. You're paying for petrol, so I guess you're SOL, huh?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
But with the cons, before COVID, there was always an unwritten calendar. And
right.
And Bill, I'm sure you'll agree, where, you're at the show and everybody's, hey, you going to be at so-and-so? Yeah, I'm going to be at so-and-so.
Oh, yeah.
Or the other answer would be, no, I didn't know about so-and-so. Well, hang on a second. Hey, Frank. Hey, this is Bill Fripp. He needs a table. Oh, okay, Bill, good to meet you, man. All right, cool. Let me write you down. Let me get you contact. And next thing you know, you're there.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Right. That's kind of what I counted on.
That little
were
bit of
referrals.
The bad news about COVID, the good news about COVID is that it made a lot of these promoters rethink how they were doing cons and perhaps lay them out better.
Right.
Because I know some cons are just overwhelming, and I feel a lot of times you miss sales on books. You miss connections with people because there's just so damn much going on that you can't get that type of attention.
Right.
But with the COVID thing going on,
that kind of threw a wrench in the works, man.
Yeah, folks, just life kept going on. And, there's those people out there who sat on their ass, didn't pay the rent, didn't get kicked out, let the government throw them money every damn month. And then there's
don't
folks,
get me started.
Yes, like us, who just went out and life kept going on. So we had to go out and do things. We had to go out and get jobs. We had to go out and do things out of the box we were in. And the guys that were always in charge of the cons, they went out and got jobs. And they got tied
right.
up with the jobs. And they didn't have so much time to put in with the cons. So it's almost like we're having to start from scratch with a lot of the stuff. And I
right.
feel like
Ron did his own con. He did two of them. And it didn't work out for him, but I did both of his cons. But he, if you ask him, he'll tell you he spent a lot of money to get those cons done, and it just wasn't worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
See, he won't do another one. I promise you that. But the
last
one I did.
Yeah, well, I don't blame him. I remember the first one he tried on an actual Super Bowl Sunday.
No,
is that right? That's what I seem to recall.
It snowed that day. It snowed that
day. It
was Super Bowl Sunday, and it snowed like a bastard tonight.
That's right. Boy, the weather conspired against him. That's right. You guys got hit.
And, some people showed up, but he was disappointed. I know he was very disappointed in that.
Yeah. And, things just continue to happen. Take, for instance, like Crystal Coast Con. The venue was hit hard by Hurricane Florence. And
right.
it took
Flood
them
it out.
About a year and some yeah, it took them about a year and some change to get the venue back in shape. By that time, the people who organized the cons had moved on. You know, they had you know, cause
right.
people still have to pay their mortgages. They still have to eat. And they can't wait.
Well, some of them.
Yeah, that's true. For, you know, things to come around. And, you know, things get lost in the shuffle. So what we've got to do is kind of reestablish the network that we had. And I'll tell you about XCon. XCon 6-7 years ago was absolutely amazing. I mean, you know, that was the one where I ate dinner with the comic book men, you know, that come on after Walking Dead. Ric Flair was
right.
on my wife. You know, we had all this
yeah,
kind
Ric
of
Flair
stuff
hits
going
on everybody's wife.
Yes, but it was kind of cool. You know, anybody else who talks shit to my wife gets a black eye, but when Rick does it, it's like, hey, that's Nate. It's all good.
That's fucking Ric
Flair.
My wife is so hot, Rick.
Dave was like, go ahead, Dale.
Yeah,
my wife is so hot, Ric Flair hit on her.
So it's the ability to get everybody back together. Now, XCon, towards the end there, it did kind of, because what happened is the folks that were in charge of it, had some real life issues come up, and it took away from their ability to devote the time they had into it, and it suffers. Nevertheless, XCon hasn't been around for about 3 years, but now they're bringing it back, and you know, perhaps
is somebody watching this?
Yeah, I mean. And, you know, it's funny, speaking on the cons, and Todd's heard me and Tim's heard me say it a bunch of times, when it comes down to the cons, I did it wrong right to start with. It was all about the money. How many books did you sell? But when you do these cons, it's not about the money you make. It's about the hands you shake. And the networking. Right. One of the most unsuccessful shows I had was 3 days at XCon in Myrtle Beach a couple of years back. I sold 6 books in 3 days. And
yeah.
I was like, my God, you have got to be kidding me. But in the meantime, I hooked up with guys like Matari Bane, Charles Drake, you know, guys that I still talk to on a regular basis now that have a ton of talent. And I still think that once the COVID stuff finally completely wears off, yeah, as long as the press allows it to happen,
yeah,
I think that we're just going to reestablish these connections. So it's going to take a little time, and it's going to take a little bit of guys going to shows and reconnecting and everything. So, like I said, if you wanted the information, Myrtle Beach is not that far from Charlotte. And
4 hours.
Yeah, and it's right there at the Sheraton on 21st. So, and
oh,
it's going to
hey,
be
your old stomping ground. Very well.
Yeah,
I know that place very well.
Yeah, I think it's the second week
go.
In May, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, I get that.
Know where to go hide there to get high?
Oh, damn,
ain't nothing wrong with that.
Hey man, I'm high right now.
I
make no bones about it.
I can't say anything. I think you all just heard my favorite author. That's he's anonymous, but it's the guy that wrote Lift Cab Push Back on aluminum cans.
Please recycle. No problem. No problem.
Is B
now, Bill,
is B E Weiser. His name is B D Weiser.
Is supposed to cut off at 10:30. Rarely does it ever happen. We call it extra innings. But what we do before we shut off every evening, we always pass it around the room, have some parting shots. And especially when we have a guest, we always like to have the guest get on there, talk about their current works, where we can find their work, blah, blah, blah. So if you would, text and take the next couple minutes to let us know where we can find your book, where you're going to be, what you have in store, and so that way folks who listen know where to find you or to find out about you. And toot your horn, big man.
Or as Dave so eloquently put it, it's your time to blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
Okie dokie then.
Yada, yada.
The book is called Ad Infinitum. That's the first one. The second one is called Ad Perpetuum. Well, shit, I forgot the name of my own book. Ad Perpetuum. Those are Latin phrases. Okay. And they can be found on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Walmart's website.
Ah, very good.
I'm in between publishers right now. I was published originally in 2014 by Solstice Publishing out of Farmingham, Missouri. But we're not the book's still available. I just looked at it today on Amazon, so it's still available through there. But I'm actually doing new covers, and I'm going to either self-publish or find another publisher. But you know, I've got an agent and I've got a publisher, and that those are percentages that I don't get. So I may go,
right.
I may just go and self-publish this time. More work, but more money for Bill.
Yes.
And, but yeah, that's where you can find it. And if you want to see what I look like, I you don't really get to see what I look like in The Devil's Daughter because my face is covered with a mask. But I am in The Devil's Daughter for a couple of seconds, not a non-speaking role, or you can go on YouTube and watch Ronald Rothman. Again, Ronald Rothman. Ronald Rothman's great web series called Dust. D-U-S-K, and I play Special Agent Jackson Riley.
Ah.
So that's where you can find me. Or, if you're into politics, you can go on Facebook and look up Friptopia, Fripptopia. I had to look. And that is my special, it's my group, it's my political group, because people got tired of me posting political shit on my regular news feed. So I started a group. And we are conservative, but we invite everyone and anyone who wants to opine, as long as they do it respectfully, no name calling, none of that bullshit.
Amicably,
yes. And now, here's a warning: if you want to join and you want to participate, if you consider someone disagreeing with your opinion an insult, just don't bother.
Right.
Because we're going to disagree, we're going to agree, we're going to disagree, and you need to be grown-up people about it. But we've got a good group there.
Know.
There's 200 people. There's 209 people in the group right now, and so we're building a little following there. And I give my unvarnished opinions. And
I just throw out, you had a group that it just kind of died on the vine, the Fripp Music Group.
The Fripp Music? Yeah, I haven't done anything with that for a while. Yeah. Maybe I'll start doing that.
That used to be fairly darn fun.
Yeah. I'll start that back up again. I haven't closed it. It's just I haven't put any content in it. Now, I did have another group called Funny Things That Are Funny to Me But Might or Might Not Be Funny.
Yeah.
And I had a couple hundred thousand people in that group, but trolls ruined it. Some guy trolled one of the things and he made a nasty comment, and my dad was a Marine. I was in the Navy, so I know how to very well. And so I pretty much told him where to stick his opinion, and he reported me to Facebook and they shut me down. And
love
that's exactly
it.
What happened to that group. Yeah.
Love it.
Fascist book got me.
Not hard to believe.
Yeah.
Not hard
up.
To
but,
believe.
Okay.
Yeah. Hail Hydra. Yeah.
No more stress. Yeah. No more stress running a group with that many people in it and trying to police it, and it was awful.
That's fun.
But that's me.
All right, awesome. Hey,
yeah,
Big,
that's
Big Bad Bill. Thanks, brother. The dude, I can't tell you. I really appreciate having you on the show.
Appreciate being asked. It's been a while since I've been asked to do anything by somebody other than Ronald Rossman, and so and the wife. And so it was.
It wasn't chores around the house. Imagine that.
That's. But it, anyway, well, no, Ron doesn't ask me to do chores. Okay.
Oh, damn.
It was. I had a
That's
really
fun.
Good time, and I can't wait to do this again.
Yeah,
Tim, it was
you
great
know,
meeting
your
you.
Team comes up regularly, and again, it's
most
one
of those charges
things,
were
real
dropped.
Life puts it away sometimes, you know, and trying to.
Right.
But, you know, again,
most.
It's
of those
one of those things
dropped,
where
most.
Yeah. You are part of the family, whether you want to be or not, and
I want to be.
Yeah,
I've been
you
a want
regularly.
To be for a while.
Oh, that's hilarious!
Professional,
that's hilarious. That was that was quick, dude.
Yeah,
but
that's
yeah.
my curse. That's why I got kicked out of class all the time.
Definitely fantastic having you aboard this evening.
And
again,
fun.
Yeah.
Can I come back?
Yes, open invite, dude. Whenever, all I need is a hey, I'm signing in. That way, I know to click in.
Yeah, that was Bill Slay is asking if we changed our mind after having him on the show.
No, the opinion has not dulled any. You're still open.
Okay,
in
all
it.
Right.
That's pretty absurd. Yeah, because
well, I was paying
look,
to
the
see
bar
this.
Is set pretty. Look, the bar is set pretty low. First off, Dave and I were here before Tim, and think about it. Tim willingly admits he knows me. Well, maybe I don't know how willingly. I got a couple things I hold over his head, so maybe that helps that he admits knowing me. But yeah, just you know, the no, seriously, Bill, because this is very much like a quiet time at the con where you know we were having a quick sidebar just lasted the last hour and a half.
Right, and it
Very
went by
cool.
so fast.
Seriously.
And to be honest with you, some of the shows we do, you know, we'll hit on everything from, you know, the supernatural to conspiracy theory, the cryptozoology stuff. And
the financial
I feel like
management.
And,
yes.
and if you're wondering why I was so quiet, just imagine that in all this conversation time of casual conversation, I'm the little kid at the dinner table who didn't finish his homework in school, so I had to sit there and complete it all over the last hour and a half. That's why I've been so quiet.
The next time I'm on, it will be
true
all
story.
Tim all the time.
You want to know? You know the best part about all his homework that he did during this show? Now I'm going to use part of tomorrow to go grade it.
You're not going to do that tomorrow. Come on. That's supposed to be sick because you said Friday.
That's right.
They're due Friday, but I got to get them graded and back to you, brother. That's just the way it works. But, yeah, true story. That's just the way it is. And that's and shit. Bill, yeah, I know you got to be happy because you only used to have to deal with me really once a year and a little bit online. Poor Tim, we worked together 5 days a doggone week.
But I don't
if
work.
You got a few extra bucks or something, you may want to send him a sympathy card. He's got to deal with me
I
pretty much on
my
a daily basis.
I spend all my extra cash on psychiatric help.
So do I.
Yeah.
Do
well, that's because you work with
you know?
That's because you work with Todd 5 days a week. Hey, but
I was going to go there. The scary part is the people that I know that happen to have me in common all say they need psychiatric help. What the hell?
Yeah. Well,
you know, you talk about
my psychiatrist.
Small.
My psychiatrist committed suicide. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
He blamed me.
Look, I'll just tell y'all that I love the hell out of all y'all. The voices in my head might be a different story, but I love the hell out of y'all.
I love you guys too.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was great having you on this evening, man, without a doubt. And like I said, you are beyond welcome to come on back whenever you got a blank Wednesday and you just feel like shooting a shit with a couple knuckleheads. Hey, come on. All you got to do, like I said, send me a message. Hey, dude, I want to get on. And that way I can expect you to look for your number, click you on, and do just like we did tonight. Easy stuff.
You're my hero.
Yeah, oh, well, great. Your voice message, or the message will be the music from old boy saying, let's get it on. Oh, Lord.
You know, stop beating around
the
bush.
So we did a tangent on the round table. I love it. Tell you, I'm going to run through mine real quick here. This is about a really great example. You've heard us talk about it many times about the con families. We've done it when the different folks have been on, whether it's Jeff Lessing and a few of the others in this case with Bill Fripp. And you've heard, you know, some of the backstories, some of the interactions, some of the little stuff that we've done from, you know, Bill sending the books when he didn't have to for Darian when he was getting ready to deploy, things like that. There's these little things about the con families. They're the intangible. So the smaller independent cons, you're supporting your independent businesses. And oh, by the way, all these authors out there, each and every one of them are their own independent business. Like we talked about, some of the people that have real names that we met that are just unreal, and you find out there's some really down-to-earth people. We're not going to tell you all of them are down-to-earth people, but we're going to tell you that a lot. You'd be surprised, the down-to-earth people that you meet there, and you see some really decent examples of humanity. And that fits that we have con family here for a great family holiday. Those can be with the families, enjoy it, appreciate it. And if you can't be with them, remember that what you're doing for your family. And it is 2021. It's not like we're ever that far away with technology today, you know, from the video calls to the phone calls to whatnot. It's not like we're paying long distance anymore. I know people say some of these doggone rates that we pay for our cell service, but do y'all remember how much long distance charges added up?
Oh, my God.
Anybody that ever served.
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God. It was awful. When your dad would get pissed off at you, is that a long distance call? Mark, I'm going to go get a job. Okay, sorry.
Right? So the whole nine yards with that stuff. And deservedly so. They were allowed to get PO'd when they were the ones paying the damn bills.
Right.
Oh, in this case, I guess twice in your case, Bill. So it's a family day, Thanksgiving. Be grateful for all those little things. I know it's real easy to sometimes feel the negativity that's going on out there, and that's okay. I ain't saying lose sight of it, because you always have to know what's going on. Just don't get too focused on the negative. And I ain't saying go be Pollyanna either with what you see, but don't lose sight of the good. Seriously, don't lose sight of the good. And as I like to say with all my closings, take care of yourself, take care of your family, take care of one another. Big hugs, group.
Big hugs.
Adam and Dave.
Well said. Well said. And absolutely. You know, it's real easy to get wrapped up in the mojo that's currently going on. But, you know, it's funny how I used the example today at work where I said, if you eat at the same Hardee's every morning, and you stop and get a biscuit. And you enjoy that. And the highlight of your morning is stopping and getting that biscuit and coffee on the way to work. And you come to work, and there's a couple guys in there going, yeah, man, you know, every time I eat that hearty, I get the shit. So, yeah, well, I got there, and I saw roaches on the floor. And what happens is you go into that Hardee's the next day, and you're looking around going, man, I wonder if I need to be eating here. And what happens is you let that mojo cloud what you know. And that's the thing.
All I'm going to say about the roaches is free protein.
As long as they're paying rent, it's all good.
Hey, man, you mix it in with some dough and get a nice roller and mash that shit up.
And I think we've all eaten worse. So,
seriously.
Again.
And just for the record, that was a recipe tip from the executive chef.
There you go, yeah. That was it. It's what we used to do with it.
Don't let yourself get tied
up
in the
negative. My almond's got legs.
So, yeah, Todd, definitely good to have you aboard this evening, brother, as always. And then, of course, Mr. Homework Man. You know, Tim, I saw today there was a post from a school teacher who had posted a picture of this wrinkled, ripped-up math assignment in a Ziploc bag, and there was a sticky note with writing on the sticky. The sticky note said, yes, it actually happened. The puppy got to his homework. Please call me with any questions. So apparently some youngster's homework got ate by the dog. And the parent was sending it in and said it actually freaking happened. But nevertheless, what kind of damn parting shot do you have this evening, young man?
Wish I could have used that excuse earlier. Todd, I don't have it. My dog ate my computer. No,
you've tried to say that your doggone computer crashed. We've been through that one.
He ate my SIM card.
Right.
Tibbleton bit.
Pretty much. So, that SIM card thing was targeted at me, just so you know, Bill.
since we're on Thanksgiving Eve, I will say I am definitely thankful that the house is starting to get rebuilt. I'm seeing a slowdown of the neighbors slowing down to look at the destruction of my house. So it's starting to look a little bit more normal, and I'm definitely thankful for that. I'm also thankful
they quit pointing and laughing as they drive by?
Yes, exactly. They did. Still the eyesore, the block, no longer getting the attention that it did. I'm also thankful that I completed everything I was working on so I can kind of rest a little bit easier until Todd decides to throw all this back at me and tell me what I screwed up. So there's that. Obviously thankful for all the things that everyone else is going to mention. You know, we've got family, great food coming. Everyone should be thankful that, you know, we all have a roof over our heads. We're all live in a country where, you know, we're not scraping around and digging through whatever to find something to feed ourselves. You know, and lucky if we eat a day, one time out of the day, because, you know, it is out there. So there's that. And then, you know, the one last thing, and not to be negative, and it definitely doesn't apply to anybody here, probably not even anybody listening, but, you know, just a reminder that if you are going out to eat on Thanksgiving, you know, we already talked about how it's one of the busiest days for restaurants. Don't be an asshole. It's Thanksgiving,
yes.
And, you know, unfortunately, I had to have a bad experience when I worked in a restaurant. And some of these privileged people that have the money to go out feel that they are entitled to also be an asshole if they don't have.
Oh, dude,
exactly,
I can tell you some stories, brother.
Right, exactly. So, you know, and it's like, hey, why don't you just, you know, it's the one day when you're supposed to shut up and just be thankful that you can actually afford to go out and have other people fix a meal for you. You know, so there's that. And
people who would much rather be at home with their families.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly the point. You know, I would have much rather been at home. But anyway, not trying to dig up old bad memories. So on that note,
well, you just bummed me out, Tim. God, now I got to go get drunk, man. Shit.
Dude, you're running behind. We've been drinking the whole show.
I was all happy and shit, and then you gave the floor to Tim, and now, God.
And Todd just counseled all of us about negativity and shit, Tim. Jesus.
Right, I know. Jesus,
I know.
Tim.
I know.
Way to go, Jimmy Counter.
All right.
Hey, anytime I can
say
that segment
was brought to you by Karen.
Hey,
Tim,
I'm
you're talking
warning.
About your house, right?
I'm giving a warning to stay away from the Karens. That's what I'm doing.
That's it, yeah. Hey, Tim, you're talking about building your house, rebuilding your house. You remember when we got our first stimulus check? Right?
Yeah.
Remember how long ago that was? I bought wood. At that time, I bought lumber at that time to put a new deck on the back of my house, and it's still not done. So you're doing much better than I ever will.
Well,
I hear you.
This is there was a tree that fell on our house. This happened in late August, and we were just now getting around to the insurance paying us. The insurance has been a nightmare in all of this, so... Yeah, we've had, and believe me, I'm not doing this crap on my own. There's no way I could do rebuild the stuff that happened here. They would not want me up on that roof. But, yeah,
well,
so we're just now able to get
that, then
here.
We probably would have been sued out of existence by now. Somebody up with their hip in my deck.
Why did Bill Fripp get sued? Because he decked someone.
Right. Come on. There's his dad jet for you.
Got a huge
Well, that was exactly it. I'm sorry, I forgot to do the bada-cha afterwards.
But, Tim, great to have you
that's
aboard.
The funniest thing I've ever heard. The funniest thing I've ever heard that involved that is called a rim shot was Sam Kinison said the next time he gets married, he's going to have a guy do the rim shot after each of the vows. Do you promise to obey? Do you promise to love, cherish, and obey? I do.
You're a wonderful crowd.
I miss
thank
him.
You.
Genius.
Thank you. Thank you. I miss Sam Kinison. He's down there looking up at us right now, I'm sure.
Hey, you know, day before yesterday would have been Rodney Dangerfield's 100th birthday.
I know. Wow. He's my favorite of all time, by the way.
I tell you, I've used that damn joke about the slot machine and the three prunes as far as growing old so many times. That is like one of my all-time favorites.
My favorite Rodney Dangerfield joke is I get no respect. I went to the dentist. I told him my teeth were yellow. He told me to buy a brown tie.
He had so much stuff, man. He had so much stuff.
Yeah. He's one of the only guys to ever see handcuffed Johnny Carson. I mean,
he did.
If you ever watch whenever he went on the Carson show, Johnny Carson could not get a word in because he was laughing so damn hard.
I love watching those old Carson shows.
Well,
not
only that, Carson would try to get to the Dr. Vinnie Boombot stuff too soon. And it was it was just classic. But all the stuff with the doctor, he'd be like, yeah, my doctor, he was talking about all this stuff going on. He got six cases of BD. Oh, he's doing better now. Oh, my God, I heavily rely on you know what? That might be a future show, just a thought. A bunch of us freaking fans.
Robert Klein. You know who Robert Klein is?
Yeah.
Robert Klein was I think he's gone now too, but he and Rodney Dangerfield were best friends. They worked the Force Belt together and stuff like that back in the old days. And he tells a story during one of his stand-ups about him and Rodney going out on a boat. And Rodney fell overboard.
Oh, shit.
And so Klein had to bring the boat back around and I can't do it, but you should look that up and hear him describe Rodney Dangerfield drowning. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life because he said it sounded just like he was, you know, most people would drown and go crazy. It's Rodney Dangerfield. It's like, oh, I'm drowning. I can't help it. I'm drowning. Help me. But to hear Robert Klein do it.
Oh, my God. Rodney Dangerfield doing that. Help me. Help me. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to drown. I'm dying over here.
They actually, his cardiologist had a press conference on Rodney's behalf. And when the cardiologist was trying to describe what they had done on Rodney, there's Rodney only a couple hours out of this damn major heart surgery and took the whole damn thing over. And, you know, cardiologists aren't cardiologists because of their humor. They're cardiologists because they have no humor. And it was so funny watching this cardiologist trying to speak seriously with Rodney over there dropping one-liners on his ass the whole time. It was just hilarious because you saw this cardiologist just totally out of his element. You know, he's like, God, how do I fight this guy? You know, it's what do I do?
A straight man. The perfect straight man.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah,
the perfect straight man is the one who doesn't know he's a straight man.
Yeah, I don't get worked up over many celebrities.
Well, apparently not too many straight men know they're straight anymore today, according to the general society rules.
At least for the next 3 years.
They can identify as straight.
Come 2024, we will be back to normal operating procedure, as they call it. So, yeah. One can only hope.
Show altogether.
Yeah. And you're awarded by
a new phrase. NOP. NOP. Will things ever become NOP? Normal operating procedures.
Yeah. Got to make you wonder, you know?
I don't
know.
That's
right. You just heard it here.
We need to do that show. We definitely want to do the current events show.
So, you know,
I'm
glad you said that, Bill, because, Bill, you are more, like I said, I've said it a couple hundred times, so I'll say it one more time. You are more than welcome. You've got the digits. You've got the, all you've got to do is say, hey, Dave, I got nothing going on. I feel like talking tonight. Just send me a text, and that way I could look out for you and clock you in. And whenever the hell you want to get on, you are better than invited. And I appreciate you joining us tonight. It's been way overdue. And
it was.
Most
man,
stuff.
I tell you,
should
what,
have been 3 weeks ago, but that was my fault. I had the surgery.
Ah, hell.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. What is up with you deciding that surgery was more important than your health and all that?
I know. What the hell, man? I'm just
what's
a selfish bastard. I'm a selfish bastard, entitled white man.
Hey. Aren't we all, apparently?
Apparently.
Apparently.
We didn't know it, but we were.
Apparently, yeah.
I got to go.
But, yeah, tonight.
Unless you
want to
hear me go to the bathroom.
All right, yeah, we got to wrap it up. Our extra minutes, we're at 19 minutes. All right, big hugs, people. Wrap up the show, Diamond Dave.
Absolutely.
And Bill, you're a lot. Just for the record, on most phones, there's a mute option. I won't tell you how I know that for using it during the show. I'm just saying. I try not to do a Leslie Nielsen from the Naked Gun on a show.
There's been times I've even pooed on the air, man, but nobody will ever
know. Okay. Okay, we started out with your nuts, and now we've gone to your sphincter. So
we have gone to Pooville.
Yeah, we
Mr.
went
Hanky.
Straight across the taint into the promised land, I guess.
Well, as the saying goes, can you believe this
tainted
shit?
Love.
Just call me Willy Wonka.
Okay, that made me laugh. That made me laugh.
But, yeah, before we
Tim,
go.
Tim had a funny.
I know it. Tim's freaking on fire, man. He's one of those sniper kind of humor guys. You don't expect it until the bullet hits you, you know?
Doesn't happen.
You don't even hear the shot.
Yes.
But just a quick parting Rodney Dangerfield comment. This is how much I rely on him. I have meetings, true story, average meeting. I have about $1.5 million payroll on a meeting, and I do 5 meetings a week with this group that I lead. And I end up being the Rodney Dangerfield of that doggone meeting. It is frickin' brutal. Talk about no respect. And I'm leading it. $1.5 million annual payroll. Boy, it's my doggone. Yeah. All right, we got to wrap this thing up. There's a Rodney Dangerfield,
man,
that best tangent ever.
My parting shots real quick, like, first off, Bill. Damn, dude, it was totally fantastic having you aboard this evening. And
that well.
You know the routine.
Bill's there between mutes trying to pinch it off.
Yeah, trying to drizzle it out, you know. Speaking on decks, I actually had the pleasure of mending the deck, Todd, you've stood on, the 12x16 deck I have there at Atwell Estates and or Atwell Manor, better yet. Had to replace the deck boards, and my brother-in-law and my son helped me do that, and I'm here to tell you, you talk about three guys rolling up their sleeves and getting at it. I couldn't be prouder of my son. I couldn't be more thankful than to have a brother-in-law like Todd. So to Rob and Todd tonight, I did
Todd, just to be clear, but
my brother-in-law, Todd. Yep. And I was able to do a show walking anywhere on the deck this evening without having to worry about falling through the damn thing. So I certainly appreciate their participation to help me getting that thing put back together. I could not have done it alone, and I tell you, there's not a day go by where my son doesn't fascinate me and amaze me and reminds me that if I haven't done anything else right in my life, I got him. So, there's my thanks. On the other side of things, I want everybody out there who listens, and for all you assholes who don't listen, I hope everybody has the best Thanksgiving. As Todd alluded to, put the bad stuff to the side. Enjoy the day. I'll be spending my day with Mom and the Sergeant Major. And I tell you, I'm looking forward to it. Take the time.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Absolutely.
By all
means. Enjoy the time. And by God, despite all the bad things going on in this country right now, we got a lot of good shit going on. We just got to sit there and embrace it and recognize it and keep getting the good. With all that being said, I am going to cue in that salty British lady who's probably not celebrating Thanksgiving because, once again, she
don't have
that big L. She took the big L in 1776, so she doesn't have to.
Well, that we declared, but
well,
that
this
loss
filthy colonist
was quite
first season
over
two.
Then.
I got your Plymouth Rock, bitch. So, with all that being said, happy Thanksgiving.
Just for the record, the folks that came over from Plymouth Rock and did that really didn't have anything to do with anyone.
No. And, you know, I don't think
the attire
was quite the same, though I would like to sport one of those blunderbuss rifles they have. I just want to shoot one.
Oh, God.
Nevertheless,
that reminds me of a story.
Well, I figured that they could always unscrew the barrel and use it as a doggone bugle.
I worked at the Renaissance Fair once, and I was there was a paintball area, and they took paintball guns and made
casings around them so they look like blunderbusses, but you could shoot paintballs out of them, right? And I was a target. I was a paintball target. So I would dress. I would put on my clothes, and I put on a welder's mask and shoulder pads.
There's a whole
– yeah.
God, I could get a paintball show on.
And I, well, I took one of the guns that didn't work, and I hid it behind a tree. And when some kids would come up and buy a bunch of paintballs, I'd stand there and let them hit me with paintballs for like 5 minutes. And then I'd jump behind the tree and jump back out with that gun that didn't work and point it at them. You've never seen children scramble that fast in your life, Sal.
Oh, nice.
Are we done? All right.
Oh, nice.
Said blunderbuss. That's what it brought up. That's called ADHD, guys. Love it.
No, no, it fits right in. You picked up on the tangents tonight. You're
all right.
The oh yeah, we may have. Yeah,
you want to say hello?
This fits right in.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
She has no. I'm good. Do you know who this is?
I do.
Oh, awesome! Because I know who you are. The hey, big hugs. The odds and ends recipe updates. I got a few new ones. Let me know when you want to talk.
Okay.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, Miss
Valerie.
Good to hear you.
I knew exactly who that was. Hey, ma'am, big hugs.
Big hugs. Gotta go.
Without
hugs all. Be safe.
And
hey, get us queued out. We're almost a half an hour past.
and I
know Bill's got one particular thing to do.
Well, it's funny.
Good night.
Paintball story saved my bladder because I was pissing the whole time that he was giving us the paintball story about the bun bus. So God bless you. My bladder.
He's got to learn podcast etiquette.
I do.
Yes. Either that or
I'll
do like I do, just piss outside where you don't have to mute it. So, but yeah.
I'm not wearing the diaper tonight, so.
No,
oh,
yeah.
Bad move.
Okay,
goodbye. Here we go with the adult undergarment jokes again.
Well, that's
how
depends.
We
get
to
go.
Oh. Chafing.
That depends.
Right. Chafing on the wedding tackle. Chafing on the wedding tackle.
Have a good night.
We appreciate everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving,
big
hugs. Diamond Dave, get us queued out, please.
Hell yeah. British lady with the old salty
good night,
ass.
Night,
big hugs. Happy Thanksgiving, all.
Take care.